May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon text is the epistle reading from Galatians chapter 3. You could turn there if you'd like. It's on page 974 of your pew Bibles. Paul there is discussing justification by law versus justification by faith in Christ. And that's what we'll talk about this morning. A little background before we get into it, though. God creates this beautiful world, this beautiful universe. We manage to screw it up. He comes up with a plan to save this universe back to himself. And he does it by choosing this guy, Abraham, and making promises to him. This is how he's going to save the world. He's going to do it through Abraham, and he's going to do it through Abraham's offspring. He's going to bless everybody. He's going to bless Abraham. He's going to bless his offspring. Everybody who blesses Abraham is going to get blessed. The whole earth is going to be blessed through Abraham's offspring. That's kind of the background to what Paul's talking about in Galatians 3, because there's a big question that this raises. Paul discusses it. Jesus talks about it. John the Baptist talks about it. Who is Abraham's offspring? If God makes promises to Abraham's offspring, like, who gets the goods? Who are Abraham's kids? The easy answer, of course, this is the answer that most people in Jesus' day say. Most Jews in Jesus' day say, well, it's us. It's ethnic Jews. If you can get on Ancestry.com and trace yourself back to Abraham, you're one of Abraham's offspring. Better yet, if you're one of the ethnic Jews who actually obeys Torah, who has your kids circumcised, shows up at temple, observes the festivals, eats the right kind of food, you're clearly Abraham's offspring. This is what it means. In fact, in Galatians 3, one of the issues that's going on here is this. A lot of people come to faith in Jesus Christ, most of them Jews early on. Funny thing starts happening a few years later. Lots of Gentiles, lots of non-Jews start to become believers. This is troubling for the Jews who are believers in Jesus. And one of the moves they make is they tell the non-Jewish new Christians, look, if you want to become really Christian, you're going to have to be one of Abraham's offspring. I mean, the promises are to Abraham's offspring, right? And you guys aren't. You're Gentiles. So one of the things you should do is you should become Jews. If you want to be a real Christian, you need to become a Jew. This is a weird move for us today. This is actually quite logical if you believe that Abraham's offspring are ethnic Jews. So one of the things Paul's fighting in Galatians 3 is this group of people who is saying, you have to get circumcised. If you're a male and you're going to become a Christian, you've got to get circumcised. You've got to eat the right kind of food. You've got to make a commitment to go to the festivals in Jerusalem 3 times a year if you can. You have, especially in Galatians 2 and 3, you have to get circumcised. Paul's fighting against that. So go to our text. This is verse 23 of chapter 3. Paul says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. You guys get it, don't you? He says. I mean, this is not anything we've liked. This is the law thing is a prison. It doesn't feel right. It's constricting. It's a burden. Verse 24, so then the law was our guardian until Christ came. The law is our, and the Greek word there means like child leader. And it refers to a job that you could have in the ancient world. Most of the time it was slave work. You could get hired, though, to lead around kids, right? I mean, you don't send your kids off to school. I mean, nobody sends their kids off to school anymore. Somebody picks them up or you drive them there. But you wouldn't just send your kids in this day and age, like, several blocks away, right? I mean, the world's a bad place. This is, we recognize that there's evil out there. And so you go with your kids. You walk your kids to the store. You walk your kids to school. Back in the day, you could have somebody do this for you, right? This would be one of your slaves would do this, is to be a child leader, to walk your kids around to make sure that they're safe. Why? Because they're immature. Kids don't have a sense of who they are. I send my kids to Good Shepherd here, and wherever you send your kids, probably the same thing is the case wherever you send them. When my kids go on field trips, they all have to wear maroon shirts. Maroon is one of the colors of the school. And they all have to wear maroon shirts. So I go with my little daughter, Reeve. You know, we go to the zoo or wherever it is we go. And she has a maroon shirt on like all the other kids. What's the point? The point is that my daughter, Reeve, doesn't really have a sense of who she belongs to and where she's at. I don't mean that she's dumb. I don't mean that she doesn't know that I'm her father. But at the zoo, she could quite easily get lost by being distracted. She doesn't have this sense that this is my group. I have to stay with this group. Now, I can say it to her, and she can say, okay, I'll try to keep up. But there's lots of interesting things going on, and she could wander off, and there's bad people out there. So what do? We tell our kids, everybody wears maroon shirts. Right. Now, when she turns 16 or 17, and she goes to the zoo with us, I'm not going to say to her, you need to wear a maroon shirt so I can keep up with you. Because she's grown up now. She doesn't need that sort of thing. She understands who she is. She's aware of where she's at. This is what Paul's kind of saying that the law is. And like, I mean, you can blow any analogy up, so don't poke at this one too hard, please. Be gracious with it. But Paul's kind of saying this. You don't have to wear a maroon shirt anymore. Remy, you're all grown up. There was a point in time when you did not know who you were. Israel was immature, not in the sense that they were dumb, but in the sense that they didn't know exactly how they related to God because Jesus Christ hadn't come along the scene yet. For that reason, everybody wears maroon shirts until Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up and you finally realize this is who I am in relationship to God, that part of the law is no longer necessary. Now, not in the sense that, like, so when I tell my daughter Reed when she turns, you know, of a certain age, you don't have to wear a maroon shirt at the zoo anymore. What I'm not saying is that, okay, it doesn't matter anymore. Now you can go home with whoever you want to. Or if you want to wander off by yourself and steal a penguin or climb into the lion's cage, it's okay. There's no more rules. I'm not saying that. The heart of the law, God's character, that still is there. But these boundaries that are there for those of us who are immature at a certain time before Christ are no longer necessary. We no longer have to wear a maroon shirt. That maroon shirt was never intended to get Reed into Good Shepherd Lutheran School. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the analogy? The law was never, ever intended to get you into the family of God. The law was never designed to make you a child of God. You already are a child of God because God chose you, Deuteronomy 7, right? And God put his eyes on Abraham and said, that's the guy, his kids are the people, right? The maroon shirt is there just to protect you. And at a certain point in time, you no longer need it. So what do you need then? If the law is not there to justify you, how do you get justified? I realize everybody knows what I'm going to say next, because you all are good Christians. You're justified by faith in Christ, right? Look at verse 25. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. We don't need the maroon shirts anymore. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. You know who you are now. Jesus has shown up, and now you know exactly how you relate to God in Jesus Christ. You no longer need the law. You are a child of God, a full-fledged, all-grown-up member of God's family. For, this is how it works, verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Okay, here's the mechanics of it. You are a child of God. You are justified by Jesus Christ through faith. This is how it works. When you are baptized, you put on Christ. You put on Christ like you put on your coat before you went out the door this morning. You put on Christ like you put on your pants before you go to work. You put on Christ like you wear your skin. It's something that you're clothed in, Paul says. So that when God looks at you, when God looks at me, he does not see me and you first. He sees his son, Jesus Christ. He sees his capital C child, his only begotten child. And because he sees you through the lens of his capital C child, he counts me and you as his children. We are full-fledged members of God's family in Jesus Christ, right? So keep on reading, verse 28. There's neither, within this family, for those of us who have put on Jesus Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's no male and female. Now, he does not mean that there's no such thing as gender, there's no such thing as ethnicity, or there's no such thing as socioeconomic group. What he is saying, though, is that this is not your fundamental identity. Who you are is not dependent upon how much money you make, or where you come from, or even what your gender is. Who you are is baptized into Christ. You are wearing Jesus. So you are a child of God. The payout, verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. Now stick with me just for a second, because there's a couple of moves here. It is true that in order to get the blessing, you have to be Abraham's offspring. The promises were made to Abraham. The promises were not made to whoever German-Irish forebear I have. The promises were made to Abraham. And so in order to become a child of God, I do have to be a child of Abraham. The Jewish Christians were right about this. But what they were wrong about was saying, how do you become a Jew? The answer is this. You become a Jew by being in, clothed in, the one true Jew, the capital J Jew, Jesus. And when God sees him, he is, we're not going to read it, but earlier on in Galatians 3, Paul makes this point. When God says, I'm making promises to Abraham's offspring, he doesn't mean to offsprings a bunch of people, a bunch of Jews. He means to one offspring, Jesus. And if you are in him, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You are Abraham's offspring. You are a true Jew. You get the promises made to Abraham because you are clothed inside the one true Jew. Do you need to be circumcised to become a true Christian? No, because Jesus was circumcised. This is the extremely short gospel reading that Pastor Adel read for us this morning. Jesus was circumcised. And you, male or female, because you are inside of Jesus, when God looks at you, he counts you as circumcised. Jesus shed his blood as an 8-day-old. Jesus shed his blood for you. He shed his blood for you so you could be counted a child of God, so that no more would your identity be tied up in how much money you make or the kind of golf score that you shoot, whether you got the promotion or not, whether your kids behave in public or not, whether or not the house is picked up and clean when people come over and see it, whether people think you're smart or not, or funny or not, or whether you have a lot of friends or not very many friends, or whether you're sick or healthy. None of these things are your fundamental identity. I'm not saying that they're not important, but they're not your fundamental identity anymore. Your fundamental identity is you are inside the one who was circumcised for you, the one who lived for you, the one who died on the cross for you, the one who rose from the grave for you. This is our fundamental identity. Because of that, we are offspring of Abraham and heirs of everything. Every good gift that God has, the entire universe, is now ours in Jesus Christ. Amen.